So I just want to talk to you today, live in what you believe. This is why I had everybody come up, because we need to live what we believe. And you know, when you receive your healing, what you need to do is you need to tell somebody. Okay, that's what you need to do. And then you need to be sensitive to say or to hear if somebody needs some healing. And you can just say, you know what? I have a friend that heals. His name's Jesus. And you can just say, can I pray for you? It's really awkward. But they can say no, and you can still pray for them anyway, because they don't know, right? But you get, if they say yes, you get this opportunity to pray for them. And then it's up to God what he does in their lives. But you need to know that you can live what you believe. And so we're kind of going through a series here in the church. And so today I'm going to talk about his church. Living what you believe in his church. And so in Matthew chapter 16, in the Amplified Version, and I use this version because it's a bit more wordy and explains it a little better. It says, now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? That's an interesting question coming from God, isn't it? Is it, you know, when somebody who has authority and knows everything asks you a question that you don't really know how to answer because you don't want to sound dumb? You ever been in a room like that? I mean, I've gone to seminary and I've gone to different courses and they'll ask a question and you think you know the answer, but you don't think you're smart enough to give the answer. But then when somebody else gives the answer, you go, yeah, right? Well, I think I might have been one of those guys saying, there was 12 of them. I'm not answering that question. And so they did. Some of them answered and said, some of you say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or, and this is what I like the Amplified, just one of the prophets. See, in the old days, that was the person that had the link to God. That was the person that knew. He was the seer. And so when you look at the prophet, it's one who, moved by the Spirit of God and his spokesman, solemnly declares to man what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular such as related to the cause and the kingdom of God and his human salvation. So we have prophets, modern-day prophets. They're different. Modern-day prophets are different than the Old Testament prophets. And we have quite a few prophets. Some of them are not really stable. And please, if you're listening to prophets, make sure they have a good covering. Make sure they're doctrinally straight. Because there's a lot of people out there that are just giving what they feel is the truth from God. And they just kind of tie things in that are not healthy. Especially end-time prophets. They just grab things that's on the news and they pull it in and they wrap a scripture around it and said, hey, we're in the end times. Really quite interesting I haven't heard it. I don't watch too many prophets on TV. But if you watch the news, they already started this one company starting to chip their employees. Did you see that? They ask their permission right now and then they slide a little chip in there. And so when they come into work, they go like this, click, and the door opens, and it clocks the time that they walk in. Ooh. Remember it says in the end times, the mark of the beast, you're going to have one on your hand. Actually, it says on the back of your hand and one on your forehead. They haven't chipped your forehead yet. But do you see how it's going that way? Barcodes and all this kind of stuff. Don't jump on that bandwagon, because you can dig that chip out still. They have to come up with something a little bit more that you can't remove. But there's what this tells me, I don't get all excited and say, oh, well, I'm not going to have a credit card because they know everything about you. Well, it's too late. They know everything about you anyway. And if you got something to hide, well, then you should get that straightened out. But if you have nothing to hide, it doesn't matter anyway. And if there's a kind of an end times thing come down, God is going to give us direction and give us wisdom in how to deal with it. And I'm very much Pentecostal. I love the idea that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. We're going to go home without any pain. That's a selfish way of looking at it, but that's what they've taught me, and I like it better than the other ones. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what happens near the end times. What really matters is, are we as a church tight together in Jesus Christ, and are we working on the harvest? That's what it's all about. It's not about anything else. It's not about politics. As you can see, politics is just like crazy all over the world. You really need to pray. But remember that the government is upon his shoulders. All right? And so the prophet, they had to come to a conclusion. They didn't want to answer incorrectly. Who's the Son of Man? He's saying, who am I, basically? And he said, who do the people say? It's easier to answer for somebody else, isn't it? But so they say, well, some of them are saying this, and some of them are saying this, and some are saying this. But they really render it down to that you're just a prophet. And most religions that other than Christianity believe that Jesus was just a good guy and a prophet. Nothing more. Oh, yeah, he's way more. He's the Son of God. He died. He isn't in a tomb anymore. He rose. He's got all power. Every name that is named will be subject to him, and every tongue that speaks will bow down. Tongues, knees, everything will bow down to him and confess that he is Christ. That's who he is. He's not just a prophet. So he said to them, now this is the exam. That was the quiz. This is the exam question. But who do you say I am? To his 12, Peter, if you've read the scriptures very much, he just spurts something out right away. He does. And he got the right answer right now. Peter replied, Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, which is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. The Christ, the Messiah. Years and years and years, centuries and millenniums, they've been waiting for the Christ to come. And there he is amongst them. And they were with him, and they watched him heal and set people free and bring people back from the dead. And they watched him forgive sins, and they just watched everything about him. And then he got him off to the side and said, so who do you guys think I am? Come on. It's the same question, in a sense, that I'm asking you is, can you live what you believe, or do you just believe it? He's saying, look, you guys walking with me, you talk with me, we eat together, you sleep there, and I've done some wonderful things. You've done some wonderful things through the power that I've given you through the Holy Spirit. And so who do you think I am? And I do love Peter, because it doesn't sound like he hesitated. He just said, you're the guy. You're the Messiah that we've been waiting for. You are him. And we're in your midst. Jesus today is the Messiah. He's here. And he wants so much to be your Messiah, to be your Lord and Savior. And so Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God. That's what blessed means. Are you blessed? Yeah, you are. So if you're blessed, you're happy. You guys feel happy? Yeah, that's good. Because some people, I would say, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. You know, because some people are... they say they're happy, and I think you've seen a T-shirt where there's 7 or 8 different pictures with the same expression, and it's happy, unhappy. Like, it's just like no expression change. I think there's an expression change. I don't think you can be happy all the time. I think you can be joyful, but I don't think sometimes you can be happy. If you're in a car accident, you go through the windshield of the car, probably not going, oh, awesome. I get to meet some paramedics and some people in the hospital, and I won't have a wait. I won't have to wait in line to get care, because the emergency guys will whip me right in. This is great. No, that's not what it's about. Sometimes when you're not happy, but you are spiritually secure. And you are favored by God. So he says, blessed Simon Peter, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Oh, not rich? Isn't that rich? Like he had an inspirational word from God the Father. You ever had that? Where God has spoken into your life and just said something and you had the courage to say it out again? That is beautiful. And so he's talking to Jesus, who's the Son of God, and he says, you're the Son of God, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, right on. You know what? You didn't come up with that on your own. You didn't come up with that because you read a book by somebody else who came up with something. You heard from my dad. My dad spoke into your heart and into your spirit and said, tell him that he's the Son of God. He's my kid. You know, when you get a word from God, it's supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God and to Christ. The wisdom of God as revealed in forming and executing counsels in the formation and government of the world in the scriptures. Hey, that's pretty high intelligence, don't you think? All the scripture that we have came through authors by the Holy Spirit. That's why we have it. And it's not just a book, but it's alive. The Word of God is alive inside of us. It's alive. It's just like that. This was a rhema. There's a logos, which is the written word, and then there's a rhema, which is the downloaded right from God himself. You should seek that. Make sure it's God before you tell somebody. Because we can download our own stuff, and that's not as good. But honestly, Jesus said, who am I? Peter said, you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, right on. My dad told you that. So he said to Simon, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Isn't that awesome? Your name is Jim, and on this church, I'm going to build my church. On this rock, I'm going to build my church. It wouldn't work because my name in the Greek is not translated as Petra, which means rock. But it doesn't mean big rock. It means a small rock. A small, detached stone. But he said to Peter, Simon Peter, which is small rock, on this rock, you can show that the next slide there, or the next part, yeah. On this rock, which is, it's Petros for Peter, and it's Petra for the rock that Jesus is saying he's going to build his church on. You following me or did I mess you up? This is the bedrock. We don't have bedrock. We don't have bedrock in Richmond. We have a lot of sand. And and it's a little, you don't want to read in scriptures that don't build your house upon the sand, because the rains will come down and wash it all away. We had even sang that song. We had a hard time. Elaine had a hard time moving here because she goes, Richmond? Like, she's a disaster planner. So she goes, this is the worst place in the world to live. Sorry, even though it's most expensive. It's not the worst place in the world to live when you're called here to live. There's other places in the world that are even more, possibly destructive. But that's not what we're talking about here. It's not on shifting sand that Christ built his church. It's on the solid rock. And it's not Peter. It's not Peter. It's on the faith that Peter expressed. See, we're all part of this rock. When we express Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we believe and then we live what we believe. This is the rock. This is why we gather. This is the church. So in Romans chapter 9, verse 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But if you with your heart, but for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. That's the rock that the church is built on. The next slide, please. And it says, this is not the church. Okay, Luke's mom. This is not the church. It's not a denomination. It's not the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So if you have your card, your membership card, that does not guarantee you a place in heaven. But knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior does. And this is not the only church. Matter of fact, God looks at this church as part of his church. And there are people that don't even speak the same language that are part of his church. It's not buildings. We have a beautiful building here. We have great land. We have lots of things that we can use to minister to the people around Richmond and all over the world. But it's not buildings. The church is not the building. You didn't come to church today. You are the church today. So, in a sense, and I said this before, you can never be late for church if you are the church, right? So you can feel better that way if you get in a little late. It's not the building. It's not the denomination. It's not a bunch of religious laws that you follow. We struggle with that. We think, okay, we can't legislate holiness. We try to do that in our Pentecostal assemblies, for sure, in the whole holiness movement. And some of you remember that you didn't do anything on a Sunday because I was breaking the Sabbath. You didn't mow your lawn. You didn't play. You even prepared all the meals you're going to cook. You're going to do that beforehand. Those are religious laws. You couldn't play baseball. You couldn't wear lipstick. I never did anyway, but you couldn't do some of those things. Because if you weren't, you weren't holy, you weren't righteous. But that's not on the outside. What we're talking about and what Christ wants in his church is holiness in the inside. So that you represent him. Try to think of what to do and just try to think of Jesus. What did he do? Oh, well, I'm not like Jesus. Yeah, kind of you are. You got him inside of you. Let him show you what to do. It's actually not that hard to walk and represent Jesus Christ. But in this world, there's a million things that want to pull you away from that. So it's not a denomination. Not the Baptist, not the Pentecostal, not the United. It's not any of those. In every one of those, there are people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they're saved. And they're the church. And in many of those, there's people who don't know. And they're not part of the church because they're not saved. The bottom line is you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be part of the church. It's not dictatorial or autocratic leadership. Like, I'm going to tell you what to do. Nope. Doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, my leadership is on the bottom of the rung. I'm here to serve you. I am at the bottom of the pyramid, if you want. I'm not the pinnacle. Jesus Christ is at the top. But even when he came, what did he say? I came to serve. I came to serve. And that's what we all need to do, is serve. But as your pastor, I'm right on the bottom line. Elaine and I are here, and the rest of the pastoral staff are here to serve you. So that you can grow, it says in Ephesians, so that you can develop, so that you can mature, so that you can become the church that Christ has designed for this world today, and the world to come. Little Jackson, when he grows up, it's going to be a different world. You know how fast things are changing. When he's 20 years old, it'll be a different world. 25, 30 years old, it's going to be a totally different world. There's going to be so many things that are going to be coming in to their lives, into their living rooms, into their schools, into every part, into their businesses, that are going to be contrary to the Word of God. The church needs to be a place where they know that they can gather and be served and encouraged and blessed and recognized as the family of God. That's the church. So you can travel all over the world and connect with somebody in a different church, different denomination, and not even be able to speak the same language, but you'll know in your spirit that there's somebody that you can connect with. We love traveling and connecting with people. And so my position and any position, if you have a pastor, if you've had a pastor, or you know of a pastor that's telling you everything what you're supposed to do, that's not a shepherd. And so he says, and back to Matthew 16, it says, and the gates of Hades, this is not hell, this is death, the gates of death will not overpower it, won't overpower the church by preventing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen. And there is no way that the devil can ever put him down. He couldn't put him down when he died. He couldn't keep him down then. He's alive today. And there's no way that the gates of death will prevail, because we have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's the gift that we have. Because the gates of death, the gates of hell, are likened to a vast prison. The access or entrance into any state. So they have this big wall, and then they have a big set of gates. I've pastored in churches where I thought this, actually, the hinges of the gates of hell were right beside me, because it was so spiritually dark and so spiritually oppressive. But it couldn't keep down what God was doing. People were getting set free from demons. People were getting healed. People were getting saved. That's exactly what's happening all over the world. That's what's happening here. We're in a harvest time in our church. This is an exciting thing. It's not because of us. It's because this is the time that God is bringing in the harvest in the Richmond Pentecostal Church. For the years and years and years and years that people have been praying and ministering and planting seeds and watering and developing, it's not because we're here. We're here because God said that, I want to bless you with being part of that. But the gates of hell, some of you have felt them since you've been here in this church. You can even hear them clang sometimes. But death no longer has power over us. Physically, we're going to die unless we get caught up in the rapture. But spiritually, we're not going to die, and that's what it's talking about. We're not going to die. And he says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind or forbid, declare, be improper and unlawful on the earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, which is you permit, declare lawfully on the earth, will have already been loosed in heaven. You don't have to any effort here. You just have to walk in faith, believing that these words are true. And so in the New Testament, keys denote power and authority of various kinds. God has given us all power and authority to go out and preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's why we did this morning. We also, and we can speak in new tongues, and we can set people free from demonic influences. Elaine and I were in a church on Sunday, and we were preaching, and my sermon wasn't anything to do with darkness. And at the end of that service, this lady ran up, grabbed onto me. Elaine was there, and she says, this woman has a demon. That's what Elaine said. And so we cast the demon out of that person right there. There are people that are suffering from demonic influence in our world. There's some people that just don't sleep at night because of the terror of the enemy. God set her free. We We need to be people in the church that will set people free because we have the keys. Satan's been bound on earth. We have the keys. We have all this blessing loosed from heaven. We need to walk in it. Then he gave his disciples strict orders not to tell anyone that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So I kind of wonder, like, did he do that like reverse psychology so that they would go out and tell everybody? Because it doesn't seem to be a wise thing for them to, for Jesus to say, especially when he wanted people to follow. But you see, there was timing in everything. And there's still timing in everything with God today. In John 7, 6, it says, therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. But for me, my time is not here yet. And that's why we don't know when Christ is coming back. And again, if you get into some prophet who's saying, you know, on January the 26th, you know, 2018 or 2021 or 2031, at 4 o'clock, Jesus Christ is coming back. Stay away from that person. They're a nut bar. Okay? They're a nut bar according to Scripture. Don't listen to them, because if they're wrong in that, they're probably wrong in everything else. So stay away, because Christ doesn't even know at the time of the writing of Scripture when he was coming back, but he is coming back. And we need to understand that it's in God's timing. Why are we still here after 2,000 years? I don't know. But I know that we have some work to do, and then one day he's going to catch away his church, his bride. In Revelation 19, I'll close with this. It talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bride has made herself ready and he's clothed her with robes of righteousness. And that's what we are. That's who we are. And so in Isaiah 61, it says this, I will sing for the joy of God, in God, explode in praise from deep in my soul, because he has dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He has outfitted me with a robe of righteousness. We are his bride. And at Revelation's scripture talks about that. We're his bride. I just want you to know that Christ is coming back, but until then, he's going to come into your life every day, every moment of your life that you let him. And if you walk what you believe, he's going to give you a life that is so full and abundant. There's no one higher than our God, right? No one higher. And so we need to go out with this power inside of us and believe that he is able to do all that he said he was going to do, and that he wants to do that in your life. So for you who have received healing, walk in that healing. Believe that God is going to complete that healing, because right now I walk without any pain. It took a while, but I walk without any pain there. And I'll tell you, when you go to sleep at night and there's no pain, oh, is that ever nice? Because you know the nights when you're up at 3 and 4 and you're pulling your hair out. I can't afford to do that much. Like, I got maybe 3 more nights of pulling hair, and then it's done. And God says, you don't need to pull your hair out, because I'm the healer. Also the one that dispels fear. I want you to stand. We're going to sing this. There is no one greater than our God. There's no one higher. Drink those words into your spirit. When you leave here this morning, leave here in the power of the Almighty God who lives inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's sing this together.